Welcome to Pocketoid, your favorite podcast on the internet about handheld video games and whatever else we just can't stop ourselves from talking about.
Burritos.
Yeah.
I want a burrito really bad.
Ultraman.
I want an Ultraman burrito. I was listening to a podcast on the way here and they
talked about... I'll be your Ultraman burrito.
They were talking about burritos and now I just really want a burrito real bad. I'm gonna have a burrito for dinner.
I've never been a burrito guy. I mean, yeah, I'll F with some Chipotle once in a while, but...
No.
Yeah.
Chipotle's gone downhill. It's Moe's.
I know.
Moe's is where to go in town for a burrito.
How about that? They're all right. It's okay. I don't know. It's just
better than Qdoba.
My favorite place is Supermercado in Monette. If you ever find yourself in Monette, Missouri, folks, be sure you check out the Mexican market because they have burritos for $1.50 and they're very, very good. Like the size of Chipotle burritos and delicious. Anyway, like I said, whatever we feel like talking about. But this week, we got a lot to talk about, so let's go ahead and get our plugs in real quick. If you want to follow me, my name is Jordan, and you can follow me at Jackal27 on Twitter. With me, as always, is my absolutely gorgeous new haircut host.
It's me, Addison. You can follow me on Twitter at Addison_L and see the pictures of my glow up.
And if you want to follow the show, you can follow us at Pocketoid on Twitter. If you would like to email us, you can email us at pocketoid@gmail.com. Although I think we would like to get a more official email after PAX. I feel bad sending everyone to a Gmail address, but...
I don't know. It's whatever.
It costs money, yo.
I feel like most people probably don't care.
I know. But so you can email us at pocketoid@gmail.com if you don't have Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook, and you can also hit us up just wherever.
Did you mention that we have a domain again?
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah. So we have an official domain again because
we're grown-ups now.
We're grown-ups. We got real sick of just using free stuff. And I was like, you know what? It's time to put on our big boy pants. And so you can find our website at pocketoidpodcast.com. And I'm not sure, but we've been talking about doing a bit more writing. I'm not sure if that'll be through the site or through another medium. But no pun intended. But
well, I know that I, for one... I'm planning on tomorrow opening a Medium account, and I'm going to make my first post tomorrow.
Yeah, because we used to do a lot of writing back in the Destructoid days, but nowadays we don't do as much writing, and I feel like we'd like to get into doing some more media stuff for the show, especially because you're not writing for the Globe anymore, and so it's like now you've got
And I don't want to fall into like a habit of not writing again, so I'm just going to, you know, for the meantime, I'll just write on Medium, and then maybe I'll, you know... find another outlet or something, but for now I'll link that out tomorrow.
Yeah, so there's all our plugs. You can find us at those things. Hey, this last weekend we went to PAX, which was crazy. It was nuts. It was my first PAX. It was your, like, when was it
that you first went? It was like my fourth or fifth PAX.
Yeah It was dope though. I enjoyed it a lot. I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would.
I thought you would.
Yeah.
Although I was also a little nervous that you wouldn't. I was like, man, I hope Jordan has fun.
I did have fun. It was like, I mean, there were a lot of folks, a lot of friends that I wish could have been there. And there were also a lot of Twitter friends that were there that I wish had said something because I didn't think they were there. And then on Twitter later on, they're like, boy, I had a great time at PAX. I'm like, cool. Now, let me know next time.
Well, they were probably busy and just didn't like have time to look at Twitter and see that you were there too.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, we had a good time at PAX, really enjoyed ourselves, and those of you that came out to say hi to us, or those of you that hung out with us, thanks for doing so, and I can't wait to go back sometime before too long, hopefully.
Yeah, it was a good time. Always, always good to see old friends and make new friends.
Yeah. All right, well, since we've covered a little bit of that, let's get into what we've been playing real quick before we just go on a big old PAX bonanza. Addison, what'd you play the last week or two?
So I wanted to make sure that I had stuff to play as if, you know, I wouldn't, but of course I would. But it was honestly just an excuse to buy video games.
Yeah.
Because I also went to Portland before going to Seattle for PAX to visit some family and friends. And so I was playing a lot of Cosmic Star Heroine, and I've really been enjoying that.
That's good.
We've already kind of talked about that, but yeah, the game's good, and I'm still enjoying playing that. More Picross, as always, on that Picross train, on that Okami train, trying to finish Okami. And then there was a Nindy Direct before you left, while I was in Portland, and like they made a lot of announcements and showed a lot of stuff. But then,
cool stuff, man.
At the end of that direct, they gave us a surprise announcement of Into the Breach on the Switch coming that day. So I immediately bought that because I've been waiting for that announcement for a while.
I literally almost bought it the night before on PC.
And really?
I was really glad that I didn't.
Yeah, there's. It was probably a couple weeks ago where I like saw it on sale for like $10 or something. Mm-hmm. I was like, ooh, I really want this game. I could just do this and then didn't. And I'm glad I didn't because I've been playing that on the Switch. And it's really, really good.
Yeah,
I know that you've been playing it too. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of challenging, especially because
kind of challenging.
I'm not the best at those games.
It's very challenging.
Yeah, but I'm still having a lot of fun. I've made it through like 3 islands. Yeah. But it's great. It's just Advance Wars X Pacific Rim.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of is. Well, it kind of is, but then it also has this cool puzzle element to it as well, where I love how you can kind of push enemies around the map, because then it adds just like another layer of trying to
just knock them into water,
or
knock them off the map,
or push them into like a spot where they're going to get, you know, covered in acid, or push them into like a fire,
push them into another enemy. And,
like I really dig like that whole loop of and how the gameplay works. But I played it on normal for a while, and then I said no, and now I'm playing it on easy.
Yeah, same. I might kick it back up after I unlock more stuff, but for now I'm sticking to easy.
Yeah, same.
Because on normal I was having a small amount of fun, and on easy I'm having a larger amount of fun.
Yeah.
So whatever, I'm gonna play it on easy for a while.
Yeah, it was it's a great game too for the Switch, because I love how it the missions, you can just kind of like play a mission and then like drop out again and continue it later. It feels great.
Then there was also just like, you know, the Switch commercial moments of like, we played Mario Kart on the train together. Yeah. And
we didn't, but you and someone else did, I guess.
And like in our hotel room played some Puyo Puyo Tetris and got savagely beaten. And I played like some Money Idol Exchanger with Tony, and just like those little kind of Switch commercial moments of, you know, me doing the thing Nintendo wants me to do.
Yes. I was very glad that Derek brought a dock to our hotel room.
Yeah.
That helped a lot.
Yeah.
We played a lot of games. Did you ever come up and play games with us? I can't remember if you were there.
Played some Treadnoughts.
That's right. You did. Yeah. We'll talk about Treadnoughts later. Well, actually, I can talk about it right now, I guess. So, unless you had some other games you wanted to talk about.
That was it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Actually, there is one more game. I forgot.
What?
I've been playing Sidus 2, which...
Oh, is it that mobile game?
Yeah.
I downloaded that for free the other day. I haven't played it yet.
At time of recording, it is available for free. I don't know how long that promotional period is lasting.
Yeah.
But that game's real good.
Is it a rhythm game?
Yeah, it's a rhythm game.
Okay.
And I've really, really been enjoying that. It's just like a Japanese rhythm game, and you know, tap on the circles, you know, kind of like Project Diva.
Yeah.
And then, like, sometimes you have to hold, and sometimes you have to drag... but it can get very challenging, and the music's real, real good, and it's great, and it's free.
Yeah.
Also, the Dear God is free right now on Android, maybe iOS as well. It looks like it's some sort of, action platformer.
It sounds familiar, but I don't...
It looks really pretty, and, like, on, like, the store page, it had all these, like, you know, box quotes from all these publications.
It sounds so familiar. I'm sure I've just seen reviews of that stuff.
It looks like it's gonna be pretty good. It's free right now. I just kind of grabbed it, and I don't know how well it's gonna play with touch controls, but we'll find out. I'll talk about that in a future episode. Now I'm done.
Cool. So yeah, that's pretty rad. And we also played so much at PAX, it's hard for me to keep straight what I've actually been playing in like my own time, because some of the games we played at PAX are like all I've been thinking about. But I'll just add on Switch really quick, new stuff. I got the Messenger, which, because we were going to the Devolver's Messenger party at PAX, and I thought, I should probably play this game before I go to this party about this game, because I was not going to wait in line at PAX to play it, because it was a big line, and I thought, I'll just spend the money. And the Messenger is really good. It's like an action platformer with really, really tight level design. It obviously has some influences from Ninja Gaiden, but it goes way beyond that. It throws in lots of cool gameplay mechanics. And I think what's cool is I think we get so used to procedural design in a lot of indie games, you know, like, you know, random generation and all that, that, man, you just forget how good a video game that's just really solidly designed from beginning to end can feel. And it's not a Metroidvania, it's none of that. It's just like, hey, here's a cool mechanic, here's a level built around that mechanic, knock yourself out, and it just feels awesome. And they keep giving you new cool stuff to do, and I love it.
What's that mechanic called that they have where you, like, jump and hit, and then you can jump again?
Yeah, I don't...
It's like Cloud Strike or something
like that. Yeah, I don't remember the name of it. That comes into play. That's like the first thing that you learn.
Yeah.
Is whenever you slash an enemy or a lantern or whatever, you can immediately jump afterwards. And man, let me tell you, Addison, there are some sections where it's ceiling and floor covered in spikes, and you have to navigate around this by hitting every lantern. But it's usually that stuff's usually optional, though, which is super cool. You don't have to go grab all those things, but...
I feel like Celeste prepared me for that.
Yeah. No, yeah. It never reaches Celeste levels of hard. That's one thing I like about it. It plays like you want those NES games from your childhood to play like, and then you go back to it, and you're like, oh, I'm 30. I don't have time to screw around with this. This is incredibly difficult. Whereas The Messenger is challenging, but it has like a perfect difficulty balance where it feels really rewarding to play, and it's not just making me repeat the same area over and over and over and over again. It's really, really good. And also, I just got the hookshot, which is super fun because you can hookshot it. It just goes forward, but you can jump hookshot like into an enemy, and you'll fly at an enemy and then slash them immediately, like as you hit them. And so you can use that with the jump you just talked about to like hookshot into something, jump, hookshot, and like, you know, navigate through this area super quick. And I think there's going to be some twists later on because I've seen some abilities in trailers and things that I have not picked up in game yet. And I'm seeing some areas in the game where it looks like I could probably come back to that, I think, later on. And so I'm wondering if... I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm liking the game a lot so far. It's very good. And the soundtrack is just... It just slaps so hard. It's very good. But anyway. So yeah, Messenger's great. Can't wait to like review that. And of course, we talked about End of the Breach, which is dope. And also, I went to... At PAX, I played a game on the show floor that I didn't know was out, but it's called Treadnoughts. And these dudes were just like, yo, hey, come play our game Treadnoughts, to Mitzi and I. And so we went and sat down, and I was sort of like, ambivalent. I was like, I don't really want to play this. Sat down, played it, and was like, this is freaking fantastic. Had so much fun playing that game. Immediately went home that night and bought it. and we just had a ton of fun in the hotel room playing that when you were there, and then before that as well. And it kind of reminds me, it's like a tank couch multiplayer game. There's really not much single player. There's some time trial stuff you can do.
Tank game.
But yeah, it's like
instead of duck game, it's tank game.
Yeah, a little bit like duck game actually. Yeah, like you especially the stage switching where after you went around it jumps you to like a new stage. That's a lot like duck game actually. But yeah, you're these tanks that can drive on the ceiling or the floor, and you shoot rockets at everybody and try and kill everyone but you and be the last person standing. But also you can like rocket jump. There's a lot of little cool little physics mechanics that just give it this whole layer of depth. That's a lot of fun. It has tons of customization in the types of game types you can do. You can have lasers instead of, you know, regular cannon shots. You can have like floating tanks. You can have invisible tanks. You can do all kinds of stuff. And it just has gorgeous art, like great music. I really love Treadnoughts. It's very, very good. I wish that there was like a, you know, Smash Bros. Style classic mode so I could play more single player. But man, I think it's going to be one of those games that is going to be like a regular at parties and stuff. Like people are just sitting around. I think it'll probably be the game I pull up and be like, here's a Joy-Con. Now you're doing this. Because I think anybody could learn it. It's like, it's really just jump and shoot. You know, it's a ton of fun. So picked up Treadnoughts. We played a bunch of that. And you and I also both got Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate.
I was sitting here, and that was one of three games that I thought of, oh, I didn't talk about this, or this, or this.
Yeah, so we both got Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate for the Switch. Obviously, we don't have time today to review that, or really any of these in depth, but it's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's Monster Hunter.
But it's on the Switch.
Do you like to hunt a monster?
Yeah.
Me too.
Same.
Let's buy it. Let's get a Monster Hunter, and then you can do it.
I have.
Yeah, good. I'm glad. We need to do it together, though, because
yeah,
we haven't done that yet.
Yeah, we do.
But it's great. There's so much stuff. It's a big game. Like, I thought I was about to hit high rank, and then it's like, oh, here's all the 6-star missions.
I think it was 3 times the amount of monsters that World has.
Good Lord. And I love World, but it's just, sometimes you just want a big bag full of candy. Yeah. You just want to shove it all in your dumb face.
I think this is going to be the last Monster Hunter that we get like this, though.
I know. Well, but that's the thing, though, is...
So, like...
I think World is a lot closer to even the... Like, going back and playing this, I was surprised how easy it was for me to adapt to it. Like, it didn't feel like as big of an adaptation as I thought it would.
There was... there's like a lot of just small quality of life things where I'm like, oh yeah, I have to do this.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I have to paintball the monster. Oh yeah, I have to like actually restock whetstones, mm-hmm. and my pickaxe breaks. And
do you use item sets? You should use item sets.
Yeah, probably.
That will fix all. That'll fix a lot of those problems because I have an item set for like, it's just on your box. I have an item set for like hot, cold weather. I have an item set for. It's called hardcore. It's like when I'm fighting a really hard monster and I just need like all the stuff that's going to boost my defense and attack. And then you just go to item set and you just go boop, and then it stocks all those things back up.
Yeah, I should do that.
Yeah. I never did it until like after playing World. And then I went back and did that and I thought, why was I not ever doing this? This is the best thing ever.
And you just put paintballs in all those?
Yeah, I seriously just have, because you have the same items you always take with you. You can just create it and like register an item set of the stuff you always use. And
yeah.
Then, boom, just restock that every time before you go on a mission. It's easy. But yeah, there is some stuff like that that, you know, is hard to adapt from World. But I also kind of like the feeling of having to go in prepared. And, like, if I screw up, I'm like, oh, that's my fault. I forgot to bring more of this. Or I should have, you know, shouldn't have set the trap that earlier. I should, yeah, I don't know. But
yeah.
I'm excited. I think it's making me more excited, though, to see what the new original Monster Hunter they're making for the Switch is going to look like what that's going to pull from World and what that's going to pull from these games, because I'm hoping that it plays has like some of the, I hope it has like the open map of World, but it has like the more variety and stuff of, you know, these older ones. So yeah. Anyway, it's good. Monster Hunter's great. Oh crap, I just kicked the friggin' table. Gonna have to edit that out. Wonderful. All right, so we both played Monster Hunter. And I think that's about it for as much as we played. Hey, by the way, if you ever want to make a plane ride go by real quick, you just buy a Monster Hunter game, because you'll just be like, oh, that was 4 hours? All I did was make 2 sets of armor. Like, because it just, those hours just disappear. It was fantastic. So, but yeah, Addison and I both hopped on a plane and you went to Portland first.
Yeah.
Hung out with some people. And yep. I just went straight to Seattle. But I'm trying to think, did you do anything in Portland that we need to talk about?
Not really.
Just drink and hang out.
I mean, I didn't really drink. I just hung out.
That was something that surprised me most. I've always heard you guys talk about how crazy it gets and how, you know, oh, Skate's going to show up in your hotel room at 2 a.m. and pour a beer on your floor. And I was like, oh, no, you know. But then everyone, like, I think we're all just hitting late 20s, early 30s, because everyone was like, it's 11. I got to get to bed.
I mean, yes and no. But we still had our tradition. We still smashed tall boys in the street at 3 in the morning.
That's true. You guys did that.
Yeah.
Not so much me.
It was a good time.
And we still had Husky. You guys had HuskyCon.
Yeah.
At ENC and all that.
Yeah.
So that was pretty sick.
Hey, shout out to Husky, who I pretty sure I met before, but we were both drunk. But he's just the best. He's the nicest man, and I love him so much.
I didn't get to meet him at all. I was real sad.
He's doing like some community management stuff at Twitch right now, and he's a very lovely boy.
Yep. Love I got to hang out with Spencer, who's doing a bunch of stuff at Itch.io, and he's just the best. I really like him. He's really
Spencer's
nice.
Spencer's great.
And, I got to meet Skate, which was just something, man.
We got to take Skate to his first hibachi.
Yeah. That was the best thing. He was like, what is this? Do we have to cook our own? Like, he had never seen a hibachi before.
He's like, oh, sorry, you guys brought a giant 5-year-old to dinner.
That was the funniest
that was
thing,
so
too.
Good.
And, like, I just love whenever, like, when the guy made, like, the onion volcano, and he was just like, he's just yelling F-bombs, like, in this family restaurant.
And then the whole time that this is happening, there's just some old man that's sitting with us. Like, it's all of us plus this old man.
Yeah.
Who was adamant about not having shrimp.
Yeah. Boy, that was a good day. But we're here today to talk about, like, the games, though. Because
we played an amount of video games.
I played a lot
you
of
played
video games.
So many video games.
I feel like you guys were all, like, man, I want to drink and have fun and hang out with friends. And I was just like, you do that. I'm going to play a whole bunch of damn video games.
I just, like, after 2 days was like, no more lines. I can't
that is
with
a,
the lines.
That is something I did not expect. And, like, it's, like, I'm still recovering from, which is how
also,
overwhelmingly crowded it was.
This, yeah. It's
even with a media pass,
crowded.
Like, it was hard to get into stuff.
The line management at a lot of places this year was bad.
Yeah.
especially with Nintendo.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed with that.
What the hell
was that? I got like a survey from them the other day and was like, oh, let me tell you.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys done goofed it up with the lines.
Yeah, you did. Well, it's also crazy because with Nintendo's thing, I can understand kind of why they did it. They wanted people to be able to play Smash as fast as possible. And like the Smash line was only 30 minutes, which is kind of bonkers.
Yeah.
But first of all, the Smash setups were terrible. Like, input lag like crazy, which I didn't even realize till afterwards.
My controller, I don't even think I told you about this, but when we first got there, my controller just didn't work.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I was not impressed with their Smash setup, and I wasn't impressed with the folks working with Smash setups or the Mario Party setup either, because they just didn't talk to us at all. They didn't tell us, like, they sat us down at Mario Party, and we had no idea what to do. We were just like, the dude was just standing there. I don't know. Maybe he's just tired. I mean, I get that.
Yeah.
It's hard, but like, come on.
I don't know. When I played Smash, the girl at our station was, like, she was fine.
Didn't you hop into it, like, day one, though?
Yeah, no, I went during... That was the first thing I played.
Yeah.
I went there during the media hour.
The media hour, yeah.
And, like... Because I assumed that was going to be the longest line of anything.
Yeah, and you would. You would think that Smash would be crazy. But it wasn't, because the Nindies line, which I guess also had Pokemon, but the Nindies line was, like, 3 hours long and kept getting capped at, like, 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I think it was the last day, or I think... No, it's probably the next to last day. I showed up there an hour before the show floor opened, headed straight there.
Uh-huh.
Line was capped with like a 3 hour wait. It was like, cool.
Nope.
I guess I'm not playing Travis Strikes again.
Yeah, and I didn't get to go in there at all. I didn't get to play anything in the Nindies booth. Fortunately, a lot of that stuff was playable elsewhere.
Yeah.
But like, it's still like, that's the stuff you want people to play. Like, that's where you want people to hang out. You want them to discover new games.
And like, Sony's area was kind of a mess. They had like... They had a like one screen for Spelunky 2,
mm-hmm.
and then right next to it was like Kingdom Hearts 3,
mm-hmm.
which just a lot of people didn't know about for a long time.
And
so you could just go up and play Kingdom Hearts 3 while all these other people were like getting tickets to like wait to play Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah,
it was wild.
Yeah, I know we kept making jokes about the Spider-Man line too, because it came out in like 3 days.
Yeah,
but I was talking to another guy and he said the line management for Spider-Man was actually amazing, so you only had to wait like 15 minutes. Which I was like, oh, that makes more sense.
Was it also spectacular?
I don't... good Lord.
Spider-Man jokes.
Yeah, stop.
Yeah.
But anyway, the lines at PAX, ridiculous. Like, something has to change, because it was enough to make me think sometimes, maybe I don't want to come back to this.
I mean, PAX is fun. I've gone to a lot of them, and I'm just kind of like... After, like, a day and a half of, like, doing this, I'm kind of done. And, like, I don't... Like, I'll go play more games, but only if only if the wait is 30 minutes or less.
Exactly. And see, but I think that's the issue, is like, there's so many people there with so many cool games, you should be able to get into those. Like, I shouldn't have to wait to play random.
You shouldn't have to wait like 2 hours to play Untitled Goose Game.
No. What the hell was that line?
That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm glad
they saw so much hype at PAX, but like,
yeah, I think maybe they just weren't expecting that kind of like crowd.
Obviously not, like, they were on floor 6, but it was crazy. Anyway, so yeah, we played a bunch of stuff. I think first of all, before we do anything else, we're just gonna go ahead and give like our top 5 like favorites that we played at PAX, just
not in any specific order, just
and they're not, and these aren't to say that like we loved these above everything else. It's really just like, these were our favorite discoveries, or like the things that we weren't really expecting. Like, we didn't put Smash on here because obviously Smash is great.
It's Smash.
Yeah.
Everyone listening to this, including us, is going to buy it day one.
Yeah.
So,
Resident Evil 2 is great. Biomutant's great. But, like, we want to talk about, like, the stuff that we went there and we're like, whoa, this was really cool. Like, we really were surprised by this or enjoyed it. So, do you want to start, Addison?
Sure. You want me to just do all 5 in a row?
Sure.
Okay. Again, these are in no specific order. The first game that I have on here is Killer Queen Black.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with Killer Queen Black... it is a console version of the arcade game Killer Queen, which is in a select amount of, I think there's
select.
I think there's
like 50 arcades.
Yeah. I think there's like 50 cabinets out there,
mm-hmm.
and it's really fun. It's just like a team against another team, and you have different win conditions. Like, if you kill the other person's queen 3 times, or if you ride the snail into the goal, or you fill in all the berries. And so,
which someone's hearing this right now that's never seen that game and thinking like, what the hell does this game look like?
It's you're kind of playing as like these like humanoid like bee people.
Yeah, bee aliens.
Yeah, it has a very good look to it. It's kind of like 16-bit-esque.
Yeah, and it's like a, it's like a side-scrolling game, yeah. And you have like 4-on-4. It's like you're all just kind of running around the screen.
And so you like kind of have to come up with a strategy, and it was really fun.
I was really surprised how much I loved that.
It was a really good time. Looking forward to that. It's got online, I believe, right?
I'm almost positive.
I'm pretty sure it does. Yeah, because they said it was going to be crossplay with the PC version.
And they said that you can bring 4 friends locally. You can all 4 go online.
Yeah.
And then like, which is super cool because then you can really coordinate.
Could also be a pretty fun party game. Yes. Like 4 people would go online.
And if you have 2 Switches, you can have 4 players on one Switch and 4 players on another Switch, which is really cool.
Super cool. Very excited for that game. The next game that I have on my list is My Friend Pedro, which is from Devolver, and it's very like action movie inspired, and with like some kind of almost, I don't want to say Hotline Miami, but like kind of Hotline Miami-esque. Yeah. But you got like this, you're kind of like a crazy person. You've got this like banana named Pedro who's like talking to you, and you're going through and like killing all these like mobsters and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's all about killing these bad guys in as stylish a way as possible.
It looks like a Deadpool game to me, which I think is one of the reasons
kinda
like turns me off a little bit.
It kinda is.
But it's like, really fun to play.
But also, this game's been in development for like before all of that blew up.
Oh no, absolutely. Yeah. I'm just saying I think that the influences are pretty obvious. But it looks so cool to watch. Like, I love how stylish the game looks, like in motion.
There's like a really cool moment where you can like you're below some rooms that have some bad guys in it, and you just like throw a frying pan up, and then you can like shoot the frying pan and get like ricochet kills that way. And then you can like do like flips and stuff for style points, and like you've got this like really cool spin dodge. There's like at the end of the demo, there's a sequence where you're on a motorcycle, mm-hmm. and so you're like shooting dudes that are like coming at you on cars, and you've got like a mechanic where you can unlock one of your arms and, you know, shoot one direction and then shoot like up with your other arm or something like that.
I was horrified for a second because when you said unlock, I'm thinking like dislocating shoulder.
No, not like that. But
you can rip your arm off and beat someone to death with it.
I wouldn't put it past them. It was a lot of fun. It's coming to Switch and PC.
Is it really? I didn't know it was coming to Switch.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
You may remember it from Devolver's press conference where it got announced during E3. It was a good time. I really enjoyed seeing that game, and I'm looking forward to it coming out. I also have World of Horror on my list.
Yeah.
It is a like 1-bit Neo Geo Pocket looking
to me, because it's black and white. Is that what you say, 1-bit?
Yeah. Well, it's like they describe it as 1-bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
To me, it looks like those old Japanese like PC 88 games.
Mm.
You ever seen those before? Like in Japan, they had some different computers that were like really popular that some different games have come out on, and it like reminds me of those old 80s like Japanese computer games. To me,
I don't think I've seen those.
Yeah, I love the art style though. It's
cool. It's obviously super Junji Ito inspired,
mm-hmm.
and it's like an episodic kind of thing where you've got just all these different cases, and it just feels like playing through like one of Junji Ito's short stories. Yeah,
with like some Lovecraft elements in there too.
Yeah, also a lot of Eldritch kind of stuff going on. It's like very much, you know, trying to stay in grips with your sanity,
mm-hmm.
and solve these mysteries and like defeat these ancient gods.
And I didn't realize this, but it's also like a roguelike, apparently.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that when I was playing it at all. I was like, oh wait, that was randomly generated? I didn't even notice.
And then like each case like has up to like 5 different endings.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's like around 20 different cases. So it seems like it's going to have like, you know, a decent amount of content. And there was like some genuinely like kind of scary stuff in it.
Oh yeah.
And like the art is really cool.
Yeah.
And, I'm very interested to see more of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. And the case that I played was also like super Japanese, like
yeah.
the god that you're fighting is like in this Japanese school, and like some of your actions that you can do are is like bow and clap. And
mine were, I'm trying to remember, I was it a scissor girl? Was that the one that you guys, when I played too?
Yeah.
So I went back to it later on after you did and played it, but
it's really neat. It's great. I'm definitely going to pick that up when it comes out. I'm really excited for it.
I love how, I'm trying to think, it's one of those games that doesn't demo well on like a PAX show floor.
Yeah.
It was hard to like get a real feel.
I mean, they
for
had
it.
Headphones, which kind of helped, because also the music, like they do a good job with like, you know, keeping it, you know, true to the nature of its retro style, but still creating some very atmospheric music.
But it felt like something you wanted to like sink into on your PC, like in the middle of the night, real slowly, and like kind of just like immerse yourself in it.
I think like ideally, I would want to, you know, play it on my Switch in bed on like a cold October night. So I'm looking forward to that.
I forgot that's coming to Switch too.
Yeah,
I'm wondering how that interface will work with, because it seemed very mouse driven to me.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it would be nice if it had touch controls.
Yeah,
and then maybe like a cursor that you can move around with like the joystick. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
Because the demo was on a PC.
Yeah.
The next two games that I want to talk about are two games that I'm incredibly excited for. I'm excited for all these games, but these two really, really just, they're the kind of games where upon playing them, I'm like, oh yeah, video games are fun.
Video games are freaking awesome.
I like video games. So we were fortunate enough to play Streets of Rage 4.
Yeah, dude.
And that game is cool.
It's so good. I haven't stopped thinking about it since we played that demo.
I mean, obviously, it's like an early, very early build. Yeah. They had like Streets of Rage 2 sound effects and music as placeholders in there, which, I mean, hey, it worked. It worked Streets really well.
Got great music. So
yeah. They weren't really ready to make any announcements about the music, but like, they gotta be getting that original composer.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's no way they're not.
Yeah.
I
mean, I wouldn't want to make the announcement for them, but like, that's no, my, I have like, a sneaking suspicion.
I mean, we're not making any announcements or confirming anything. No. They didn't say that to us. They just said, you know, the statement they gave us were, you know, it's too early to talk about.
Yeah.
But
he's
there's no way
you can't make a Streets of Rage without his music.
Yeah, there's like, no way they're not.
There's no way. I don't know. If they didn't, I would hope that it'd be remasters of his music, you know, like, like remixes. And if they did get him, good lord, that'd be so dope.
Yeah, I just don't see this game happening without that. So, the character models looked really, really good.
Yeah.
It's very kind of like hand drawn, and like, the backgrounds were really cool. Like, the camera would kind of move in and out with as you like went through the backgrounds.
And like, it had this lighting engine that was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, how I love how the shadows would pass over these 2D hand-drawn assets. And then it also had these, I can't remember what those are called. Like, you know, like those in the 90s, they would print comics, or even in the 80s, they would print comics and have kind of like that dot printing style to kind of shade in colors things. It had that for like the lighting, and it just looked so gorgeous in motion. And I'm not sure if this is the build from the trailer, but to me it felt like it looked a little bit better even than what I saw in the trailer. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just,
it's hard to say.
Yeah, it was
don't
gorgeous.
Really,
I don't know.
It's got a really fun juggling mechanic. Mm-hmm. So like I did like a suplex on a dude and like threw him across the screen down to where you were.
Oh, we did that.
You
a
hit
bunch.
Him and we were just like bouncing him back and forth and like, it was really cool. If you like juggle an enemy like too long, then like the game does kind of like push you out.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, you gotta stop. But
I've noticed that, do you know how like in old beat 'em ups, I can't remember if Streets of Rage 2 did this or not, but so many old beat 'em ups like Turtles in Time, just a bunch of them, you would push an enemy off screen and then they would just kind of be off screen. Streets of Rage 2 definitely did this. You'd have to wait for them to kind of walk back.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd just kind of be like punching off screen.
Yeah, hopefully. It's like ready.
In this game, enemies don't do that, which I think is really cool because of this juggling mechanic. They just bounce. They hit the edge of the screen and bounce back at you.
Yeah.
And so, like, it just has this great feel where you're always doing something. You're never waiting on the game to, like... Like, I heard some folks on Twitter, someone on Twitter specifically, complaining that it didn't seem like in the trailer there was enough hits done on the enemies. And he's like, oh, that's not how Streets of Rage 2 plays. But I think the juggling kind of removes the need for that, because you can stun an enemy and keep him in the middle of the air, and both you and your friend can just wail on him while they're hovering. Like, and it makes it feel so much faster and more dynamic. It's so good.
Yeah. I mean, like, I know a lot of people have some doubts and some worries about the game, but like, we have played it.
Yep.
And it feels like Streets of Rage. It feels good. It looks good. And I'm hoping that it will sound good when it comes out.
They even told us they're going for Street Fighter 3's animation.
Yeah.
Like in the sprite animation. And then after they said that, I could totally see it. Like even like the idle animations have like flowing clothes.
Yeah.
Like I don't understand the people that have said, you know, oh, kind of looks like a Flash game or something. I don't understand that at all, because it's some of the most gorgeous 2D animation I've ever seen in a video game. It's beautiful.
I think seeing it in motion, like in front of you being played, it does kind of, it helps. It looks better than just the trailer, but also, like you said, that could have just been like, oh, this is an updated build and the game just looks better.
Yeah. We can confirm Phone Booth Turkey is in the game.
Yeah.
If you punch a phone booth, or a trash can.
I found a turkey.
You can find a turkey.
I ate the trash turkey.
Yeah.
It was good.
I remember that. I remember when we were playing, whenever that happened, I was just like, yeah, hell yes. Yeah. I think that's what I want
to
see.
We got to fight a boss, and the boss was good. It was felt like a very Streets of Rage boss.
I'm trying to remember who the boss was.
It was like some...
The Dominatrix lady?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. They said that they're going for Streets of Rage 2 in terms of gameplay feel, which is the correct decision. Good job on that. And, yeah, God, they're just nailing it. I had no complaints. Like, I walked away from it, and I was like, okay,
yeah,
you guys can make anything you want.
Keep doing that.
That's great.
That was good. At that same appointment, we played another beat-em-up-esque kind of game.
Brand new game.
It was like a beat-em-up RPG kind of combination thing called Young Souls.
Yep.
And it was one of the, like, just most visually stunning games I saw at PAX.
Yeah.
It looks so good, and
it just came out of nowhere for me. It's like one of those games I was just like, what's this? I sat down, and I was like, holy hell.
Yeah.
Like, suddenly this shot to the top of my, like, I want to buy this. Like, it's
cool. I don't remember if I think maybe they had no announcements for platforms for that yet.
No.
Which was the same for Streets of Rage, although, like, I imagine Streets of Rage 4 comes to everything.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't... I'll be surprised if that doesn't come to all three.
It's like a Sonic Mania type thing. Like,
yeah,
people are going to want that.
Yeah,
a lot of different stuff.
Young Souls, though, that one I'm like, oh, I don't know what this is going to come to.
Either.
Hopefully the Switch.
Hopefully.
It was very kind of Streets of Rage X Gauntlet kind of feeling. Because you had like these magic powers that you could do, but then you were also like, maybe Streets of Rage is. Maybe I just have that too much on the mind. Maybe it's more like Gauntlet Golden Axe or something.
I kept thinking of Guardian Heroes and those Capcom Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah. That's accurate.
That's the vibe that I got. But then also, and I just hate to say this, there's some small Dark Souls elements. Not in like the game flow, but because you have a stamina bar. And so you can dodge roll in the game, and you can kind of swing your sword. When you swing your sword, it uses a little bit of stamina, and so you really have to kind of... you can even parry, and so you kind of have to, like, save up your stamina and use it correctly. And that...
Yeah.
At first, that was not clicking with me. I was used to... We had just played Streets of Rage 4, and I was like, just give me a whale on him. But then after a little while, it became very strategic.
You just have to kind of get, like, the right flow going. Yeah.
It was, like, second nature. It was awesome.
But you play as, like, these two little kids, and, like...
They're teenagers.
Are they teenagers?
They're teenager-ass teenagers. They say shit in the trailer.
Oh. I actually haven't watched the trailer.
Yeah, it's good.
maybe you should talk about this then, because I'm just kind of inferring what I can from playing it, but, like, it seems like they went through, like, another dimension.
Yeah, that's what they haven't, like, announced what happened, but, like, in the trailer, there's some kind of world flip where they're in, like, modern day. And they've described the Goonies. Like, they said the Goonies to us, like, multiple times.
Yeah.
At when we were playing. And I can see that. Because there's, like, a part in the trailer where they're in, like, a shop, clearly sort of in our world. And then, boop, they're, like, in a fantasy setting. Like, flips over. And then they're, like, it looks like another dimension. And so I'm kind of getting some Stranger Things vibes a little bit.
Like, definitely.
Like, the Upside Down type thing. I don't know.
Stranger Things is something that came to mind while playing.
Yeah.
But there's also, like, these RPG elements, and, like, you can get, like, unlock new armor and, like, magic attacks, and, like, it does the good thing of when you switch out your armor, it shows up on the character.
You can change your cool-ass sneakers.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, all these kicks are dope. Like, I want all of them.
But that game was really, really fun, and that just, like, playing that game, all I could think of after we got done playing it was, like, I just want to, like, hang out with, like, Jordan and Zach on, like, a Saturday and just eat some pizza and play a bunch of this game because it's fun.
And it was only two-player co-op when we played. I'm not sure if it's going to be just two players the whole way through or if it's going to have more, but...
I don't know. I think I feel like it would get super crowded with four.
Yeah, I do, too.
And so you're either going to do two or four. I think they'll keep it with just two.
Yeah.
But who knows? That game is great, and I can't wait to play more of it.
And it's another one of those games that has, like, really gorgeous 2D animation, but then it's layered on, like, 3D environments that have a similar art style. So there's parts where the camera will kind of tilt or turn, and it just looks so pretty. Young Souls was so cool. Yeah,
it's so hard to describe the visuals for that game,
mm-hmm.
but it was... Like,
it looks like a cartoon that if you saw the trailer of, you'd immediately be like, holy shit, like, I've been waiting for this cartoon my whole life.
Yeah, it looked like a Cartoon Network show. It looked like something, you know, that Genndy Tartakovsky would make or something.
Yeah, so cool.
It was very good. Like, that and Gree were, like, the most gorgeous games
freaking
that
Gree.
I saw.
I wish I could have played Gree.
Yeah.
Some people might pronounce it Grease, but, like, it was G-R-I-S.
And it's just, like, French for girl.
Yeah.
So, I'm pretty sure it's Gree, but someone there did... correct me and say Greece, which
I don't know. The French word is gris, like, it just is.
Yeah.
So, but, like, it was, I mean, but whenever I loved how, I'm just gonna say this for a second, I love how when you walked on that show floor, the biggest, coolest thing in there was just this beautiful drawing of this, like, woman. You're just like, whoa, what's that? Like, I mean, like, I remember I walked in there with Mitzi, and, you know, she doesn't play games really, and she was immediately just like, I want to go to that. Like, and it just had, I don't know, just a beautiful game. I don't even know what that game plays like.
I was watching somebody play it. It seems like it's kind of a, like, platformer puzzle kind of game.
Oh, okay.
It looks really good.
Do they say platforms on that at all or anything?
If they did, I don't know what they are.
I just remember I saw one part of it where there were these watercolors flowing in the background, and I was like, the only way... I don't know how they're doing this. Like, I couldn't figure out how the visual effect was done.
I asked somebody at the booth about that, and they were just like, I don't know. I don't have anything to do with that game.
I'm just a PR
And I
dude.
Was like, okay, fair. And then they were like, I'll see if I can find the developer. And then they came back, and they're like, oh, they went out to go get food. I don't know. I was like, yeah, it's fine.
Man, that's the other thing I learned at PAX is game developers are adorable and also are just as nervous to talk to me as I am to talk to them.
Yep, accurate. All right, well, those were my top five. I'll go through the list just once more. It was Killer Queen Black, My Friend Pedro, World of Horror, Streets of Rage 4, and Young Souls.
That's a damn good list.
All right, what's your list?
So, I put Streets of Rage 4 and Young Souls as my first two, and we already talked about those, but...
Anything else you want to say about them?
I'm very excited for both.
Same.
I just can't believe Streets of Rage is as early in development as it is, given how polished and awesome it felt already. And I loved Lizard Cube's last game, that Wonder Boy remake. I just have the utmost faith in them.
Yeah.
I think they're going to do a great job. And I thought about putting Windjammers 2 on here, but because we also played that.
Yeah, but it was super cool that we got to play Windjammers 2, because, like, 3 weeks prior, I didn't know that existed.
Well, we kind of did, because we signed up for this appointment, and we were both talking, and I was like, dude...
Maybe it was longer than 3 weeks, but yeah.
Because they didn't have the title yet, but they had the description, and as it was like...
It said the sequel to the most important sports game ever made.
Yeah, and we, like, read that, and I was just... And we were like, he was like, what is that? And then Addison's like, oh, NBA Jam, you know? Or NFL Blitz, maybe? And then we were both just like, dude, what if it's Windjammers 2? What if it's Windjammers 2? And then they announced Windjammers 2, and we were just like, oh my gosh!
Yep.
But Windjammers 2 was great and just felt perfect, played wonderfully. But obviously it just had a ways to go in, like, development.
It was basically a proof of concept. It was like, hey, here's two characters, one new, one returning, and here's a visually updated court.
Yep.
And it was just Windjammers.
And it was great. It played wonderful.
It was great. It felt like Windjammers.
I have tons of faith in that game, too, but it was also... It is Windjammers. There it is.
Which, also, we got to play Windjammers on the Switch.
Oh, yeah.
The first Windjammers.
I forgot about that.
That comes out next month.
Hey.
And that was Windjammers.
It played perfect.
It felt great.
Yep.
It's exactly what I wanted. Like, oh, you just pop off a Joy-Con from either side, and then you play Windjammers on a Switch, just in this... at a desk in a hotel room.
Yep. I love how we were at that meeting and then they just had that sitting there, but no one was really playing it. And they were just like, can we play Windjammers on the Switch, and they're like, oh yeah, sure. And I love how we just asked, because we were just like, hey, because we want to play Windjammers right now.
Yeah.
It was fun. So yeah, I have Streets of Rage 4 and Young Souls. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to say about Young Souls. I love how your equipment shows up on you. I love how there's different kinds of weapons. I don't know how many kinds there are, because I started out using a sword and shield, but then I, whenever I changed equipment, I used like a two-handed sword, and it was like real weighty and heavy, but it just had like a different feel to it, and that was dope. I'm still super salty that we didn't actually finish the demo, and I died at the last hit.
We were so close. Well, they told us like one more hit, and then we like hit him like two more times. It's like, it's almost there.
Yep. It was like, oh, he was so close. And then he just hit me like right at the very end. Also, I love that whenever your partner dies, you have to revive them, and you revive them
by doing this,
like this little CPR motion. It's great.
It's very exaggerated and cartoony, and it looks really funny.
Yep. Man, that game's very good. Great enemy designs, great music too.
Yeah, it was just awesome. I wanna play that game for several hours and then watch a cartoon of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that game looks like a cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Well, it has looks like cutscenes and stuff in the full game. So
that's good.
I'm really excited for that game. So yeah, Streets of Rage 2 and Young Souls were two of mine. I also put on Y2K, a postmodern RPG, which was also at the same booth that World of Horror was at. And I just embarrassed myself completely by pronouncing it yeek, because it's spelled Y and then the two I's and then a K, which, come on.
Yeah.
That's, come on.
It's understandable, and I guarantee you weren't the only person to do that.
Yeah. And I was sort of like, why didn't they just put a two?
Like the number two.
I know. Yeah. Because it makes so much more sense. Like the title makes so much more sense when you see it.
Kind of like a style thing.
Yeah. But Y2K was really cool. It comes to the Switch not too long. They actually just finished it. So it should be coming in the next, I think they said, month or two. The
soundtrack on that was real good.
It was dope. So it's basically like an Earthbound style, I hate saying JRPG, but it's a console style RPG. It has turn-based combat, but it's like set in, you know, this surreal world, and you play as this kind of hipstery dude. And who throws records at enemies.
Like, I was looking at like the flyer, and there's like a screenshot of him like in a record store.
Yeah. And he kind of returns back to his hometown after finishing college, and he's sort of a meandering 20-something. But the demo we played at PAX, they didn't want to spoil any of the story, and so it just had kind of an original story, which was just sort of like a little throwaway goofy thing to give you a taste for, I think, like more like the tone than the actual game itself. And I'm hoping if they're hiding the story like that the story is going to be really good, because I feel like that's what's going to make or break this game.
For sure.
But the gameplay was also really fun, because the combat does sort of a Paper Mario thing, where each attack you do or special attack has its own minigame. So for instance, like, I can't remember the main character's name, but when you are going to throw your record at someone, you're supposed to press A at different points on the record to like build your damage.
Yeah.
And I liked it a lot. It was really good, and definitely I had seen some stuff online about it, but I didn't know how I felt about it until I played it. And then once again, not one of those games that demos really great on like a PAX show floor, but I'm excited to play that when it hits the Switch. So, did you have any questions about Y2K at all? I'm trying to think if there was anything else I need to say about it.
I kept seeing people saying like, oh yeah, it's got Persona elements. Like, something you saw?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. I mean,
it's like watching you play, I didn't see any Persona-esque things.
That's the only turn-based RPG anyone's played in the last 10 years, and that's where I can see a little bit of that, because it's sort of set in a modern day like surreal setting, sort of like Persona, but I would much more compare it to something like Earthbound or Mother 3 than Persona. But I always love when turn-based RPGs have like combat minigames, though. It's like my jam. So like the dude who described it to us was like, oh, it's kind of like WarioWare with the minigames. I was like, let's just go Paper Mario. We'll just say that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Y2K was great. Also on my list is Gato Roboto, which is just the best video game title.
It's a very, very good video game title.
It's really good.
Like, I think, did that game get announced like the day, like the first day of the show or something?
Yeah, like there was a trailer that hit like that morning, and I was immediately just like, well, guess what? I'm running over to Devolver first thing.
Yeah, the trailer was very good.
Yeah, it's awesome. So it's a Metroidvania, but it's a Metroid-ass Metroid game. It's very Metroid.
Yeah.
Especially Metroid 2.
It's Metroid 2, but you're a cat.
Yeah, and it's black and white, and you play as this this cat who crashes his master's spaceship, and the master can't get out of the spaceship, so you have to, he's like giving you commands and you're running around trying to,
you're just going,
to help him. Yeah, he's like, all your only reply is meow. And you get into a robot suit with a gun, and it's great.
Yep.
And you can, but you can hop out of the robot suit a la, you know, Blaster Master, and, you know, get into like tight areas and different things. There was one mechanic that I was a little bummed about, because there's a part in the game where you hop out of the robot suit and then there's water and the cat like won't go in the water. And I was like, oh, that's such a clever thing. But then the guy just tells him, he's like, you're just going to have to go in there. And then he hops in the water. And I was like, oh, that would have been like a really interesting mechanic if like he won't go in the water unless he's in the suit or something like that.
That's
but it was a cute little moment though. Also the, I will say some things that like, I hope that maybe they find a way to improve on are the black and white visuals are so pretty. The animation's so gorgeous, but like the enemies can be hard to see sometimes because they're the same color as the background, you know, it's like just white assets. And so I like, when I think of people, I heard people keep comparing it to Downwell, but Downwell has red enemies, so you can see them better. So I don't know, I hope that they, I don't think they need to change the art style, but maybe they need to give the enemies like a lot of animations so that they're constantly in motion, because I kept running into these stupid plant monsters that were just sitting still on the ground. I was like, oh, I can't even see that. But no, it's great. I just love the style of it and the fun dialogue, and it was just a cool, it was cool because we had never heard of it before until like the first day we were at PAX, and yeah, I really enjoyed it, and the developer was super nice as well. So
yeah,
so yeah,
cool.
Yeah, what else? Oh, got to play Octung Cthulhu Tactics, and that's gonna be my I think my number five, because it's just kind of my jam. So Octung Cthulhu Tactics is being published by what was it, Ripstone Games, I believe. Yeah. And it is a turn-based strategy game based on the Cthulhu mythos, specifically the Octung board and card game, which is like a Cthulhu-style board game, apparently. I've never played it, but the game itself is coming to Switch. It's also coming to PC. And I can tell they really didn't like this comparison, but it reminds me a lot of XCOM. It's very XCOM, but it has a lot of stuff that sets it apart, too.
Just a side thing, I hate when I do that where I'm like, oh, this reminds me of this, and I can just tell that the developer's like, I'm just like, it's a good thing though, I'm sorry.
I love XCOM. Come on.
I didn't mean to make you upset.
No, but it has a lot of stuff that sets it apart. So it has like four consistent party members through the whole game. It doesn't have the stupid XCOM mechanic of when your dude dies, they're gone forever, which was so frustrating. And so it has a little more of an RPG to it because there's a skill tree that you're constantly unlocking abilities for these characters. But also it has this fog of war, a la like Advance Wars. But what's cool is, you know, your characters have a kind of like, you know, an insanity meter or whatever and things like that, that are always in, seems like, Cthulhu-type games. But like, what's awesome is you can have one character go ahead and run ahead and scout, and you can choose the direction they face. And whichever way they face, it opens up your line of sight for like that area, and then any other character can shoot into like their line of sight. So you can have people like move ahead and like scout out areas, and I think
have
just,
like a sniper stay back. Or
yeah,
something.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly that. And so, man, it's awesome. You know, if you've seen XCOM before,
I don't think I've ever actually played an XCOM.
Okay, well, there's your problem. But you love Fire Emblem though, right?
I love Fire Emblem.
Okay, it's just XCOM is just Fire Emblem with guns. Okay. That's all it is. So maybe you should give it a shot when it comes out.
Can I make the soldiers kiss?
Ooh, that's a good question. No, but you should be able to.
Yeah. I want to make the soldiers kiss.
But anyway, back to Octung. It's really cool. I like it a lot. I really enjoyed what I played. One of the things that, like, there was just, it just seemed like a lot of love had gone into it as well. One of the things that really stuck out to me is the character models in-game are modeled straight from the actual molds used to make the miniatures.
Oh, that's really
for
cool.
For the Octung board game. And so
I like that attention to detail.
Yeah, it's so like they kind of look like little miniatures, like when you're playing. I mean, they're not like frozen stiff, like they animate and everything.
Yeah.
But like just the style of the characters looks a little bit like miniatures, and I really
that's neat.
I was really surprised how much I enjoyed that game. I'm excited to see more of it, and just, you know, shooting Nazis in 2018 is always great.
Yeah,
it's always
shooting
wonderful.
Shooting Nazis at any point mm-hmm. in time is good,
especially when they have giant tentacle heads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So yeah, and then I wanted to give an honorable mention to Treadnoughts, which was definitely would have been on my list for top five, but it was also already available, and I didn't know that when I played it, But I went home and bought it immediately after I played on the show floor.
How much is Treadnoughts?
It's $10 or $9.99. Okay. I think that's a perfect
price. It's a good price for that.
And Treadnoughts, I just remember they called me and Mitzi over, and I was like, I don't know. But by the end, I was completely sold on it. It was so good. So yeah, Treadnoughts was definitely my top five, but it's like, I don't know whether to include it or not. So, but yeah, right, cool. Those are my top five games. Let's see where we're at on time right now. Oh my gosh, we're at an hour.
That went by fast.
It did. Thank you for listening to our part one of our PAX Bonanza. I'm also sure that we'll be talking about more of these games like way down the line.
Yeah, as time goes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like when they come out. So be sure to tune in for part two, which will be coming up, I don't know, very soon after this.
Yeah.
I don't want to make it too far in between, but
I think you would just release them at the same time.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
Yeah, we'll see.
Listen whenever they want to.
Or maybe we'll make you wait because, you know what? You're slaves to our work schedule. We do the show for free. Thanks for listening. All right. Once again, if you want to follow us, you can hit us up at Pocketoid at Twitter, or you can email us at pocketoid@gmail.com. Want to give a big thank you to Game Chops for allowing us to use their music for both our intro and outro. You can find out more info about the songs that we use on the blog post. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you guys in the next episode.
Okay, love you. Bye.